Welcome to Life Church McDonough Podcast. If you will, please visit us at lifechurchmcdonough.com, or you can follow and subscribe at Life Church McDonough on YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram. If you're in the McDonough area, please come visit us. Life happens here.
Thank you, Jesus. Wow. How many are grateful for the presence of God in this house? Thank you, Jesus. He made my job easy this morning. I love you, church. There's no place that I would rather be than right here in the presence of God with my church family. I'm grateful for all of you. I want to say a special happy birthday to Miss Kathleen Livingston. We are glad you're alive, Kathleen. We can do better than that. Give her a round of applause. We love you. Want to encourage everybody to please pray for Brother Ray Strickland as he is needing God to touch his physical body and give him strength. I want God to do a miracle in his life. I'm grateful for the Porters, their love and their strength, their example as elders of our church. Grateful for God restoring unto them strength in their physical body. So many powerful things happening all across this room. I want to thank each and every one of you for worshiping with us this morning. Isn't it good to worship Jesus? Isn't it good to praise his name? It's an honor to lift up the name of Jesus with you. For those of you watching with us online, I want to thank you for being with us. Would you please take a moment right now in this moment and share that you're watching with us, and do me a favor and just put in the comments why you love Jesus. Make it simple. Just why do you love Jesus? And I promise you, what that's going to do is it's going to go further than you thought it could, because God can take that message and spread it across the world. I also want to thank you for just the joy that this church has, the life that this church has. I'm grateful for it. Today, y'all ready for God's Word? Today we're starting our new sermon series, and we're simply focusing on following this theme all month long, and the theme is going to be on the screen. It is fix your eyes on Jesus. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, neighbor, fix your eyes on Jesus. That's great. I don't know about y'all, but I've got a lot going on in my life. Anybody got busy, hectic schedules? I've got a lot going on in my life. All of us do. There's so many things that try to occupy my attention. Amen? There's so many things, distractions that are trying to steal my focus, and all of us in this room, all of us watching online experience this, and there are challenges and obstacles that try to discourage my resolve. Come on, somebody. There's frustrations that make me want to quit from time to time. It's not all the time, but once in a while I get that, oh Lord, if I have to deal with this one more time. Anybody with me this morning? There are temptations that try to challenge my character and chip away at my integrity, because I am a man in need of a Savior. Come on, church, I came to preach this morning to real people who have real struggle. But church, I came this morning to declare that I have a wife that needs me to fix my eyes on Jesus. Come on. Church, I came this morning to say I have two sons and a beautiful daughter who is my princess that needs me to fix my eyes on Jesus. Come on, somebody. Somebody needs to help me preach. I know Miss Geneva said not to help, but come on. Now, I want you to help me this morning. I'm called to lead revival at Life Church here in McDonough, and the only way that's going to happen is if I fix my eyes on Jesus. I have my own personal health to maintain, in my mental stability and well-being to be kept intact, and the best way for me to do those things is to fix my eyes on Jesus. See, I have a community of faith and a congregation that I will be held accountable for on the day of judgment. And you all need your pastor and your staff at your church to fix our eyes on Jesus. See, when I fix my eyes on Jesus, I see the world from a different perspective. Things shift. The theme really has just been anointed the whole service long because it's the same as my message. When I fix my eyes on Jesus, praise God, I have hope. Come on, somebody. When I fix my eyes on Jesus, I have a confidence and an assurance. I step out of my comfort zone because I know that what seems impossible is not impossible because I have a God that can do exceedingly and abundantly more. Nothing is impossible with my God. If you came to the house of the Lord to get some inspiration and encouragement from His holy word, I want to invite you to stand with me one more time all across the room for the reading of His word. And I'm not just going to speak about God this morning. I believe I'm speaking on behalf of God this morning to preach this over your life, to let this word resonate in your spirit. Let it take your heart captive because His word is alive. Turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12. It's the foundation verse of the series in August. Hebrews chapter 12, starting in verse 1, it says this: "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses," listen to this, "let us throw off everything." Come on, let us throw off everything. Every distraction, every hindrance, every discouraging word, every mental attack from the pit of hell, every negative thought. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run. Let's run with perseverance the race that's marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter, the author and the finisher of our faith. For the joy set before Him, Jesus endured the cross. Come on, somebody ought to be grateful for that. Thank you, Lord, for the cross. For the joy set before Him, He endured the cross, scorning its shame, and He sat down. Oh, He was finished. He said, He sat down at the throne. Y'all got to read your Bible like this. It is alive. He sat down at the right hand. The earth is His footstool. He sat down at the throne of God, and we are to consider Him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you and I will not grow weary and will not lose heart. Give me one more moment as you're standing. Fix your eyes on Jesus. I'm here this morning to encourage you with the word of the Lord. Now is not your time to grow weary. Now is not your time to give up. Now is not your time to quit. Now is not your time to lose heart. Come on, somebody. We are a people who will fix our eyes on Jesus. I want you to hear the word of the Lord from the Old Testament in Isaiah 43. He says, "This is the word of the Lord who created you, Jacob, who formed you, Israel. Listen, let this penetrate your spirit. Do not fear." That's for someone today. "Don't fear, because I've redeemed you. I've set you, I've forgiven you. Your sin is separated from your life as far as the east is from the west. I have taken your filthy rags and given you robes of righteousness." Come on, somebody. "Do not fear, because I've redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, when stuff seems to be drowning your life, when everything is surrounding you, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, you will not be swept over. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior." That's good news, church. It's good news this morning. We don't have to fear because He's redeemed us. Come on, somebody. We will pass through the waters because He's with us and we won't be overwhelmed. We will walk through the fire and we will not be burned because He is the Lord, our God, our Savior. That, my friends, my neighbors, My church family, that is the report of the Lord. And last but not least, this is the title of my sermon this morning, Isaiah 53, verse 1. Who has believed our report? To whom has the Lord revealed his powerful arm? The title of this morning's message and the simple question that we have to deal with as we fix our eyes on Jesus is simply this: whose report will you believe? Whose report will you believe? Bow your hearts, bow your heads all across this room as we pray. Father, we love you, we thank you, we honor you. We are grateful for your presence. It is power in this room. There is an anointing that is fresh this morning, and I'm grateful for it. I pray that you would stir up our faith this morning. God, I pray that you would give us a new lens to see this life through today. God, I am going to believe. Let me be the first to say, I believe the report of the Lord. I pray for the person that's going through the fire this morning. Be with them in the fiery furnace in Jesus' name. I pray for the person who feels like they're drowning in the waters of this life. God, split the sea and make a way where there seems to be no way even right now. I pray that you would help us cast off every hindrance in Jesus' name. Keep our eyes fixed on you, Lord. In the circumstances that we're facing, God, let us see them the way you would want us to see them. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. God bless you. I recognize this morning, and I'm going to try to speed things up because I know our time is valuable, but I also know the Word of God is priceless. I recognize that there's plenty of reasons in this life to be stressed out. There's a lot of things to be worried about. There's a lot of things that can occupy our mind. Inflation is one of them. Recession is affecting everyone in our country right now. Jubilee bought I don't know what you call it. She bought eggs at the grocery store just yesterday, and she told me, I cannot believe I spent $16 on eggs. Come on. There's a lot to be worried about. When I was running on the treadmill yesterday, all I saw on the TV was that China has backed out of previous trade agreements with the U.S., and all the headline said over and over again for the whole time I was running was red threat grows from China. There's everywhere we go, there's something to be concerned about. There's something to get anxious about. I took Jubilee the other day to get her nails done, and the technician wanted to tell us about her concern with monkeypox. Come on. She was concerned, and she began to educate us on the newer Omicron strand of COVID-19. Y'all heard of that before? I have some things to say about that in just a moment, but my point is this: there's a lot that is trying to occupy our minds and preoccupy us to cause fear. There's, in the midst of it all, we've got to ask this question, church: whose report are we going to believe? Whose report? See, I came across this quote, and I believe it applies to us today. I love this. The quote goes like this: the most successful people see adversity not as a stumbling block, but as a stepping stone to greatness. It's a mental mindset. What are you going to do with the challenges that you're facing today? Whose report are you going to believe? See, Jesus himself, he pronounced our Lord and Savior, the Son of God. He said that life would get challenging. He said it would get difficult. And when life gets difficult, church, we've got to fix our eyes on Jesus. We've got to fix our eyes. He said people would hate us because of our faith. It is going to happen. When people hate us because we believe in Jesus, that is the moment we have to fix our eyes on Jesus all the more. He said that persecution would take place and get worse as his return gets closer and closer. And when that persecution comes, y'all are going to see the theme this morning. We have got to fix our eyes on Jesus. See, multiple times in the teaching of Jesus, he said something to this effect. He said, I'm not telling you it's going to always be easy. I'm telling you it's always going to be worth it. That's what Jesus promises. It's not always going to be easy, but I promise you, you keep your eyes fixed on Jesus and it's going to be worth it. John chapter 16, verse 33, Jesus said, I've told you these things so that you may have peace in me. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Jesus has overcome. He's broken sin, death, and the grave. Nothing can stop the love of God. Nothing can separate us from his love. That is good news this morning. He's overcome. The victory is already ours. Come on, somebody. That is good news this morning. The writer in Hebrews tells us, fix your eyes on Jesus and consider the cross that he endured, and let that be fuel to your fire. Wait a second. I have yet to be mutilated and beaten beyond recognition. I've yet to be humiliated and nailed to a cross in front of all my family and my friends. What I'm going through is not half of what Jesus has been through. And yet he endured. So maybe I should endure. You see, church, when we fix our eyes on Jesus, it helps us see our challenges and difficulties from a different perspective. For example, the cross looked like a terrible defeat, but in reality, it was the greatest victory. It looked like a terrible defeat, but it was the greatest victory. It's what redeems us, church. The cross is all that we have power in. It is why we have power. It's because of the cross. It was the greatest victory. And when you're going through what might look like a terrible defeat right now, I think some of us may be experiencing that right now. If you keep your eyes on Jesus, he can turn what looks like defeat into a victory. That's what Hebrews is trying to get us to see. Man, it looked like a defeat, but it really was victory. See, I said the technician at the nail place said Omicron has her worried. She was kind of shook. It's recently caused more concern with this ongoing pandemic, and I studied Greek in my Bible studies at Bible school, and one of the first things we learned was the Greek alphabet. And I'm just putting it out there. Did you know that Omicron is the classification scientists decided to name the current strand we're dealing with, and that specific Omicron is the equivalent in the Greek of a lowercase o. A lowercase o. It's literally little o. It's little o. It's one of the last letters, and it's little. It's the Omicron means little o. Can I preach this morning that the Bible describes our great God as Alpha and Omega? Omega. I said he is the Omega. You're not hearing what I'm preaching just yet this morning. Our God is the beginning and he's the end. He's the capital O. He's the name that is above every name. He is the strength that we can stand on. He's a firm foundation. He is greater. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in this world. I'm trying to teach you this morning that our God is bigger. Our God is stronger. I'm trying to plant in your spirit that he's more pronounced. Come on, somebody. He is the name that is above every name. Our God is Omega, and that means he has the last word. He's not less than. He's not that. Nothing is greater. Nothing is greater than our great God. Come on, somebody. I dare somebody to praise him because of his goodness, because of his word this morning. If he's made a difference in your life, I dare you right now to just give him some thank you, Jesus, for all that you've done, all that you are. You are Alpha and Omega. I can't articulate it well enough this morning. I'm trying, but I can't do it justice. I can't articulate it well enough that he's absolutely nothing is bigger than our God. Nothing is greater than who he is. And just at his name, demons have to flee. Everything's trying to distract us from that fact. Everything is trying. Our enemy wants us to keep our eyes off of Jesus. He wants to steal our hope. The devil is a liar who wants to deceive us into thinking that we're defeated when we're actually more than conquerors through Christ who gives us strength. Come on, somebody. This is why we have to fix our eyes on Jesus. There's so many circumstances that can cause us to be concerned and rob us of our peace, but we need to ask ourselves, church, whose report will we believe? As we dig into this concept this morning, I think it's important for us to recognize that there's multiple sides to every story. There's multiple sides. You know this. You experience this on a regular basis. Everyone in this room has a unique perspective. Everyone in this room sees things from a different vantage point. There are multiple sides. If, for example, if you're in the Metro Atlanta region and you turn on news radio, any news radio listeners? I'm sorry if you're, I'm so depressed listening to the radio, I turned it off. But if you turn on WSB, it's going to give you a conservative perspective, where if you turn on National Public Radio, it's going to give you the more liberal perspective. What are you saying? There's multiple sides to every story, church. Sometimes neither side gets it right. Actually, a lot of times, neither side gets it right. That's why we got to fix our eyes on Jesus. We got to be careful. See, pastor, it's easy to fix your eyes on Jesus. You're a pastor, but you don't see the balance in my bank account. Oh, I hear you this morning. You don't see the growing credit card debt that is stressing me out, pastor. I hear you this morning. You don't live with the bills that keep getting more and more past due, pastor. I hear you this morning if that's you. But if that's what you're in the middle of this morning, God sent me to be the lifter of your head. God sent me to remind us that if we would just be brave and bold, we serve a God who owns the cattle on a thousand hills. He is still Jehovah Jireh. If we can't be brave, wonderful things won't happen to us. But our finances, if they're stressing you out right now, God sent me to say, God, He's going to provide. I love how the psalmist says in Psalm 37:25, it says, I once was young and now I am old. I've yet to see the righteous forsaken or their children begging for bread. God's going to do it. Just like Anjanette's testimony, you may not know where it's coming from, but I praise God it's coming because He's bigger. Peter owed a debt, and Peter had his eyes fixed on Jesus. And Jesus sent him to catch a fish, and in its mouth was a coin that was worth enough to pay the debt completely off. See, I'm here this morning. If we will be faithful to fix our eyes on Jesus and be faithful to honor Him in our finances, it's only a matter of time, church. It's only a matter of time before breakthrough is coming. I have faith to believe that a check could be sitting in your mailbox when you get home this afternoon because He is Jehovah Jireh, my provider. I have faith to believe that a message can come this afternoon on your phone that says, hey, guess what? We're eliminating the debt altogether because you qualify. There's multiple sides to every story, church. Whose report are we going to believe? Isaiah 43 tells us, when you pass through the waters, I'm with you. When you pass through the rivers, it will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you won't be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord, your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. We have the omnipotent Creator of the universe by our side, church. He is awesome and worthy to be praised. All we need to do is fix our eyes on Jesus. A little more than 2 years ago, Jubilee, I'm going to testify. Y'all okay with a little testimony? We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. The testimony is to build your faith, to let you know it's possible. A little more than 2 years ago, Jubilee was told by her endocrinologist that her thyroid would never function properly again. She had a fluctuation with her thyroid that went from hyperthyroidism to hypothyroidism. And the doctors suggested that we start her on a radiation treatment that would shock her thyroid and shrink it, and she would have to be on medication for the rest of her life. They said that there was nothing else that we could do to improve her health. We had to ask ourselves the important question this morning: whose report will we believe? God sent me to share that we've got to fix our eyes on Jesus, church. We have to be careful of the source of the opinions that we listen to. We've got to be careful of how much time we're listening to the negative side of the story. We've got to be careful whose report we're paying more attention. Are you in God's word more than you are watching your news? Whose report should we believe? Jubilee and I prayed, and she picked up a book called Brightline Eating, and Jubilee started a road of a new lifestyle, and she took to heart that the fruit of the Spirit is self-control. And so she began to adopt a lifestyle of fasting and prayer. She determined that it wasn't a diet. She will correct you. She's not on a diet. She's got a lifestyle. And she's going to remain, I believe, because she is one of the most incredible people I've ever experienced. She will remain in this lifestyle for the rest of her life, because if anybody can do it, I know she can. She removed sugar from her diet. What? She removed sugar from her diet is what I said. Yes, sugar. If something has sugar in the first three ingredients of a processed item, she's not eating it. Wow. She stopped eating flour and stopped eating wheat. That means no bread, church. That means no breading on fried foods. Oh, come on. Jesus, help us. That means no Sister Schubert dinner rolls at Thanksgiving. Y'all know those rolls that come out and you're like, oh, that's the roll right there. This is my kryptonite. That means no pastries. No pastries. I think people in the South would say, oh, bless her heart. Just bless her heart right now. Just bless her, Lord. But I'm here this morning to say, 2 years ago, Jubilee started to fix her eyes on Jesus. She started to fix her eyes. She started regular exercise and prayed for God to heal her thyroid. She determined to lower the stress levels in her life, because it's not just on God, it's on us to do something too. As we fix our eyes on Jesus, we've got to actually obey His word and fall in line and do what He calls us to do. And that takes work sometimes. But she was determined, and she established healthy boundaries in her lifestyle, and her endocrinologist was upset with her. Upset with her. Her endocrinologist said, diet and exercise won't change a thing, Jubilee. What you're doing is nonsense. She said, no one gets over hypo and hyperthyroidism. And that's what you're diagnosed with. So you're not getting over this. And that phrase just reverberates in my mind. Whose report are we going to believe? And Jubilee had to make a decision. Whose report am I going to believe? And church, I'm here this morning excited to report that just a couple of months ago, we had our annual physical, and Jubilee's blood work showed for the first time her thyroid levels are officially normal. Hallelujah. God has touched her body. God has healed her. God has restored her health and strengthened her body in Jesus' name. And I declare and I testify that she will have long life. She will have health and wholeness all the days of her life, because we are going to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. You might be here thinking, Pastor, my kids are in complete rebellion. I hear you. If one more thing happens, I don't know if I can help them anymore. I'm sorry. But I'm here to say, whose report are you going to believe? God sent me to remind you that there are multiple sides to every story. There's multiple sides. Don't stop praying. Don't stop interceding. Don't stop believing. Because my Bible says, train up a child in the way that they should go, and when they are old, they will not turn from it. That doesn't promise us there won't be bumps along the way. But God can make a way. We just got to keep our eyes fixed on Him. Whose report are we going to believe, church? See, you might be thinking, Pastor, my marriage is in shambles. We're hardly talking. We don't communicate. When we do, we can't stop fighting. We're not in unity. We're not unified. It all seems hopeless. And if that's you, I'm sorry. But God sent me to remind you, whose report are you going to believe? Fix your eyes on Jesus, because my Bible says a cord of three strands is not easily broken. God is more focused and intense and desireful for your relationship to be restored than even you are. Whatever has you stressed out, whatever it is that's causing you to lose sleep at night, whatever it is that seems hopeless and helpless, Jesus sent me to remind us that just because there's not an immediate and tangible evidence does not prevent God's hand from being at work behind the scenes. Just because it's not, instant microwave culture like we like it to be, God knows. He's ordering your steps. He's allowing things to happen so that your character can be developed. He knows that you need to go through the fire to trust Him. He knows that you need to reject some idols and say, I'm not going to worship anything, but I'm going to fix my eyes on Jesus. And when you do get thrown into the fire of the furnace, then one that looks as if he's the Son of God will stand there with you, and not even the smell of smoke will be on your clothes. Just because it's not immediate and tangible doesn't mean God's not at work behind the scenes. We've got to fix our eyes on Jesus. I've mentioned from time to time, I love this point real quick. Are you okay? I'm just going to have some fun real quick with Dane. I've mentioned from time to time, we've got a men's group that texts about our workouts. We hold one another accountable, and we try to encourage one another. And I'm enthusiastic about the gentlemen wanting to shape their not just their spirit, but their physical man to honor God with their bodies, because we're a temple of the living God. Come on, somebody. And I'm proud of that. And this week, Dane posted in the group that the group was silent. And it was kind of snarky, y'all. I'm just going to be real. I read that text and I smiled. I thought to myself, wow, Dane, you just go ahead and put yourself out there. We're glad you're working out. And the implication of his text message was that we've been inactive. I'm here to testify in Jesus' name. I've been consistent, Dane. I love you, but I've been working. I've been doing some work. And I smiled when I saw that text, because I think God smiles when we think, hey, wait a second, he's not working. Wait a second, he's not doing things. God is not on the move. God probably sits back just like I did with that text, and he's thinking, if you only knew what I was doing. Because I'm still at work in your life. Thank you for the accountability, Dane, but I'm so glad to be consistent. I lifted, I ran, and I did multiple times this week, for the record. I am determined to eat clean in August, in Jesus' name. I'm hungry, church. And I smiled, but I bet God smiles when we think, God, you're not doing anything. He probably sits back, oops, man. Just because I'm not texting you, I'm here this morning to testify that our God is consistent, church. He is consistent to be our ever-present help in time of need. He will never leave us nor forsake us. He is faithful to his word, and he who began a good work in us will be faithful to complete it. And I'm here to preach that his word will not return void in our lives. He is a friend that sticks closer to us than a brother. There is a multiple sides to every story, and God sent me to remind us that just because we don't see the immediate evidence does not refute the fact that God is not at work on our behalf. He is at work on our behalf. Here's the deal. Here's the reality. You see, church, the voices we listen to will determine the strength of our faith. The voices that we listen to will determine the strength. If you are always around the negative Nancy, the naysayer, oh, I'm always broke. I'm dumb and I'm young. Broke, dumb, and young. Guess what you're going to be? Broke, dumb, and young. Praise God, at least one of them's okay. But I'd rather be rich, fulfilled, and strong. You need to get yourself around the right voices. That's why Hebrews 12 implores us, hey, listen to the great cloud of witnesses and throw off every hindrance. Don't give the negative voices a place in your life. Compare what you're hearing. Listen to this. Compare what you're hearing to the word of God. And if it doesn't line up, keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. Let that report that doesn't line up, let that report go. Whose report am I going to believe? Silence the voices that say you can't. Come on. Silence the, I can do all things. Can't should not be in your vocabulary, because we can do all things through Christ that gives us strength. Shut down the messages that are full of discouragement and try to tear down your hope. Don't allow your mind to meditate on negative reports. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Fix your eyes on the author of your faith. And I know difficulty is going to come our way because we have an enemy that hates us. We have an enemy that hates us and wants to steal, kill, and destroy our lives. But Jesus has come to give us life and life that is abundant. And all we need to do is fix our eyes on you. When discouragement comes our way, I'm praying that all week long, the Holy Spirit will remind you of this phrase, whose report will I believe? The world is looking at our faith, church. The world is watching the Church of Jesus Christ, and they're seeing a group of individuals in the overall church with a lack of faith, and that should never be the case. We should be fixed. All right, the world is watching and waiting to see if we really believe what we say. We have to fix our eyes on Jesus. We have to believe the report of the Lord. See, what this world needs most is for the body of Christ to be intensely focused on Jesus. That's why I love Miss Geneva. She doesn't do things half-hearted. She goes in because she loves Jesus with all of her heart. God, that honors our God. When we do fix our eyes on Jesus, I promise you that's when we'll see miracles. When we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, that's when the signs and wonders the leadership of this church has been praying for is going to manifest. When we fix our eyes on Jesus, I want to invite the band to come as I close. As I close, the Lord dropped this powerful event in history. It happened. It's a historical account. Jesus was traveling with his disciples, and one day Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's go over to the other side." In Mark chapter 4, in verse 35 through 41, he said, "Let's go over to the other side," and leaving a crowd behind, they took Jesus along just as he was in the boat. And there were all kinds of other boats with them, and a furious squall came up. And the waves, it was a storm. The waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. If you translate that accurately, it's basically there was so much water being taken on by the boat that it seemed like the boat was going to sink. But I love this. It said Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. I said the boat was about to sink, and Jesus was sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him, said, "Teacher, don't you care? Don't you care if we drown?" And church, here's the deal. If we're not careful, we will fall into the same trap. If we're not careful, we'll think that because the storm is raging in our life, that Jesus must not care. But that's a lie. God sent me to communicate this morning that we must not conclude that the storms we are facing mean that Jesus doesn't care about us. We can't conclude that. When times get tough, that doesn't mean Jesus doesn't care, church. That's a lie. Jesus cares about every detail of your life. He cares about it. I said he cares about every detail of your life. When a storm comes our way, church, that is our opportunity to fix our eyes on Jesus. That's our opportunity. That's our opportunity to lean not on our own understanding, but in all of our ways, acknowledge him and allow him to direct our path. Come on, somebody. The story keeps going. They woke him up. "Don't you care?" It says he got up and he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Be quiet. Be still." And the wind died down and it was completely calm. I said it was completely calm. That's what God wants to give you this morning. He wants to give you a calm. He wants to give you a peace that passes your understanding. It was completely calm. And he said to his disciples, "Why are you afraid? Why have you little faith?" They were terrified with each other and they asked, "Who is this that even the wind and the waves obey him?" Church, I love the fact that the wind and the waves were breaking over this boat so powerfully that it was nearly sinking, and Jesus was in the stern on a cushion. He was chilling. And All hell was breaking loose and the disciples were losing their heads and Jesus was at peace. And church, God sent me to remind us that Jesus is at peace in the middle of what concerns us. Come on, somebody. Jesus is at peace in the middle of what disturbs us. I said Jesus is at peace in the middle of what causes you and I to be afraid. He is at peace because he is God. Whose report will we believe? See, the disciples woke Jesus from this peaceful sleep, hoping that he would do something about the predicament. And Jesus did just that. He rebuked the wind and the waves, and he said, "Be still." This morning, I got one more testimony. I'm so proud to share it. I'm so excited to see the hand of God at work in the people of our congregation because he is at work in our congregation. I'm so grateful that Miss Pam started coming to Life Church in the middle of her cancer treatments. She had a friend that loved her enough to say, "Hey, my church is great. Come with me. You'll enjoy it. You'll gain friends. People will care about you and uplift you." And she came even in her darkest hour when the boat seemed like it was being overwhelmed by the storm. She came and she told me her first couple times that she would have to come and sit in the back. And if she needed prayer, she sometimes wouldn't feel physically able to walk up to the altar. And so she said, "Pastor, if I need you to pray for me, I'm going to wave to you back here and you come and I'll sit and you pray." I said, "All right. It's okay with me." Why? Why was this so hard? It's because doctors were strategically putting poison in her system to kill the cancer cells. Poison, radiation. But the treatment feels, if you've ever been a cancer survivor, it feels like it's killing you slowly. Feels like the waves are crashing and the boat's about to sink. It's torture that I would never wish on anyone, church. And after the first or second time she came, she told me she couldn't physically come, but she wanted to have prayer every time. And Pam would come and she'd sit week after week here at Life Church. I praise God that she found a group of believers that would put their arms around her and say, "We love you. We're praying for you. Every day we lift her up by name as a staff. Every day we're standing with her to support her." I'm so grateful we have a church that does this type of thing. God needs us to be here for people that need a hospital. And week after week, in the middle of the storm, in the middle of her chaos, Pam has kept her eyes fixed on Jesus, church. She's kept her eyes fixed. And week after week, we have helped Pam answer the question, "Whose report are you going to believe?" Because we are a people who will believe the report of the Lord. And just the other week, Pam walked up to the altar because she was feeling strength. She was feeling strength in her body. And she said, "Pastor, I feel an energy like I've not felt since I've started radiation." And she said, "Pastor, I'm strong, but I need you to keep praying because I have a scan. They're concerned and they want to do another scan, but I don't want to believe their concern. I want to believe the report of the Lord that I'm healed." "Whose report?" She said, "Pastor, will you continue to pray?" We anointed her with oil and we fixed our eyes on Jesus together, church. We fixed our eyes on Jesus. And I'm testifying, when I placed my hand on the top of her head and began to pray with faith, I could feel a fire of God fall fresh on her body. My Bible says that when any of us are sick, that we bring them to the elders of the church and lay hands on them and pray with faith, and they will be made whole. Whose report are we going to believe? And church, I'm here to testify this morning that Pam called me as soon as she heard from the doctors with tears of joy in her voice. She testified that the scan came back and it was almost completely clear. Hallelujah. 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 Whose report are we going to believe? I choose to believe the report of the Lord. Hallelujah. Presence of a mighty God fall in this place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As you're standing, God sent me to say one last thing, and it's very simple. He sent me to say this: don't forget that even the wind and the waves have to obey the voice of our great God. You're here this morning, stand up all across this room, and you're dealing with a storm. There's something just like Pastor Robbie described. It's negative things. There's a report on your table that you don't want to believe. But God needs you to fix your eyes on Jesus this morning. You're dealing with something. I don't care if it's as big as cancer. I love it. When Damien was about to perform at Nationals, his guitar broke 5 minutes before his performance, and I started praying with him. I said, son, don't let this change your focus. Don't let this break your spirit. Keep your eyes. I didn't say it in those words, but what I was trying to teach my son was, don't let the enemy steal this moment. Keep your eyes fixed. And I'm so glad that after we prayed, he picked up his guitar and he stepped up. Okay, we'll do what it takes, whatever it takes. We'll stick a microphone in front of it. It's not going to sound as good, but we'll do what it takes. And here's the deal. It may be as small as a broken guitar to battling a threat of cancer in your body. It doesn't matter what the level of struggle is. If we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, he'll do it. So, Father, right now we are so grateful for your word. We're so grateful for your presence. But God, right now I pray that every person that has a need would begin to rush to this altar. God, that every person who's been struggling with something for a long time and they're tired of struggling, that they would get to this altar right now in this holy moment. God, I pray that you would stir the body of Jesus Christ at Life Church. Whose report are we going to believe this morning? We're going to believe your report. We're going to believe that you're for us and not against us. God, we're believing for exceedingly and abundantly more than we could ask, think, or imagine. God, we want signs and wonders and miracles to take place because you still are a miracle-working God. So right now in this moment, I call your saints forward that are dealing with something. The storm of life is hitting them hard. God, right now, you want to speak to those storms and say in the name of Jesus, peace, be still. So if that's you this morning, you've got something that you're dealing with, God wants to give you peace. Get to this altar as we worship. In Jesus' name.